There was a lady named Fanny Crosby. That was her nickname, Fanny. She was born in 1820, and she passed on to eternity in 1915. So she was 95 years old. 90 doesn't sound so old to me anymore. Praise God. But she was blinded accidentally. She had an eye infection when she was 2 years old, and it never healed, so she was blind since she was two. But she loved Jesus. And one day, a friend of hers, I believe the lady's name was Phoebe Snow. She lived in New York. I believe it was in Brooklyn. And came over and played the piano and said, "What do you think of this tune?" And she says, "The first word that comes into my mind hearing this tune is blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." So she wrote a hymn. And apparently somebody said this was the first hymn that she wrote in the year 1873. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased by God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood." And then the chorus is, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." There's two more verses which I want to read to you. Perfect submission. We're supposed to submit to God, amen? Perfect delight. What does it say in Psalm 37? "Trust in him, give your heart. He will give you, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, because he'll put a new heart in you, and your desires will be godly desires." Amen? Perfect delight. "Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love." There are angels, amen? They're unseen. Praise God, but they're there. I heard a gentleman one time, he says, "I'm in a prayer meeting." And he says, this was many years ago, I don't remember his name. He says, all of a sudden, and this is kind of an unusual story that I haven't heard too many stories like this, but he said all of a sudden, it was a stressful time in their ministry. He says, all of a sudden, the doors opened up, boom. And he says this, everyone saw this big angel come in and come through the door and then stand guard there. So there are angels watching over us. There are angels. He makes his ministers as a flame of fire, the Bible says. He sends his angels to do his bidding. Amen. There's a story one time in the Old Testament. Enemy of God, the enemy of Israel came and they're all messing with King Hezekiah. Said, "You know what?" They send their guy in. "Yeah, we're gonna mess you Israelites up." And Hezekiah goes into the temple, rips his clothes. He says, "God, you hear their threats?" And God says, "No problem. I'm gonna send one angel." And guess what? 185,000 soldiers died in one night from one angel. Can you imagine if Jesus would have pulled down 12 legion of angels to rescue him when they came to arrest him in the Garden of Eden? 12 legions, one angel killed 185,000 in one night. Can you imagine 12 legions of angels? That's, I think, 144,000 or somewhat. It's an astronomical number. There'd be nobody left on earth. But that's not even in my sermon. Other than that, angels descending. We don't see them, but we know they're there. Hallelujah. And then the last verse says, perfect submission, all is at rest. Can you rest in God? Do you have anxiety or stress in your life? Give it to Jesus. Amen. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. We need to really embrace God's love. Really understand that God's love is faithful and everlasting and unchanging. Amen. Praise God. So let's look at some scriptures here. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. It begins by saying, therefore. And why he says therefore is because in the previous few chapters, he's talking about and explaining how Jesus is the permanent high priest for us. In those days, They had a high priest, and the high priest once a year could go into the Holy of Holies and bring a sacrifice that would cover the sins of the whole nation, but only for 1 year. Thank God that Jesus' sacrifice covers our sin for all time. Amen? Hallelujah. One sacrifice, perfect for everything. Amen. Therefore, brothers and sisters, of course, we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now, I want to look at this word confidence here. This is a compound word, comes from Latin. Con means with, and fidence means faithfulness. How many have ever heard their dog, somebody's dog called Fido? That's short for Fidencio, faithful one. I worked with a man whose name was Fidencio. I thought, why would you name your kid Fidencio? Everyone would make fun of him, calling him Fido. Hey, Fido, you know, kids are cruel in school. I'm sure they made fun of this guy, calling him Fido. But confidence, we are joined with God's faithfulness, amen, by faith. We're saved by faith through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, otherwise we'd have something to boast about. But if you want to boast about anything, Ezekiel says, boast about this, that you know God, amen, and we'll get to that scripture in a little bit later on. We have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus is holy. Our blood is tainted by sin. We're all born sinners, amen? That's why you have to be born again. But the blood of Jesus is holy. Hallelujah. And we can enter the holy places. We can contact God. That's the point, amen? We want God to touch us, amen? I don't know about you, but I need God. Like that song we sang, oh God, my God, I need you. How I need you. Amen. That should be the cry of every believer, every disciple. Oh God, how I need you. Amen. Praise God. Let us draw near. Let's go into the holy places. The new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, his body. We have a great high priest over the house of God. Let's draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let's stop right there for a minute. When I first gave my life to Jesus, I had no clue about full assurance. I was raised in a church where you had to follow the rules. If you didn't follow the rules, bam, you got hit. That was it. Not a much of a chance. No grace. Amen. And I asked one preacher one time, does the scripture offer us full assurance? I said, absolutely it does. Full assurance, because our assurance, our faith, is not in ourselves and our ability, amen? Because I don't know about you, I fail sometimes. Our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You ever tell somebody, you know, Jesus died for your sins, and they come back with, oh, I'm not a sinner. Oh really? Ever tell a lie? Ever steal anything? This one preacher one time, he was watching, he says, my wife was in tears one day. I said, well, honey, what's wrong? I stole, you know, those little white reinforcement things that you put on the holes that get punched in paper so you can put in the, I stole one of them from the store one time. I said, that's it? That's your great sin? Yes. She was so convicted because she stole something so small. Amen, and something so small can keep us from God. But thank God that he cleanses us from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And the water is the word of God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We have hope that the world cannot give. Amen. We have hope that the world cannot give. I praise God. I want to look at the word assurance for just a minute. According to the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, it means a certainty about one's beliefs or actions, and it leads believers to responsible living. It also means to trust in God. It removes any agonizing doubt of the believer or a person who might be sensitive to their own shortcomings, because our confidence is in God, not our abilities. Amen? It also could be defined as a sense of confidence, security, or certainty, especially concerning one's salvation. How many have money in their bank account, your checking account or your savings account? You have confidence that the bank's going to be responsible with your money, amen? There's something called fractional banking. The bank can take your money and lend it out to other people and charge them interest and pay you a little bit of interest. But we have confidence that up to $250,000 is secure because it's insured. We have a better insurance policy in salvation, amen? We don't have to worry about the future because we know that God holds the future. God was not taken by surprise on September 11th. God was not taken by surprise by anything that goes on in the world. He knows what's going on. We have a new covenant. The new and living ways, the new covenant that we have with Jesus. I was watching a video of a Jewish man. He said, you know, I had never noticed, but in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, it says, God says, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel. And he says, when I read that, I began to understand that's why Jesus came, to give us that new covenant. Anybody ever hear that phrase, hey man, I'll cut you a deal? What that means, it came from the olden days that in order to make a covenant, they would take an animal and cut the animal's throat and cut you a deal. This signs and seals the contract. The same with Jesus put on the cross. He signed the contract. Amen? It's secure. It's absolutely foolproof. Hallelujah. Even a fool can get saved. Hallelujah. Amen? In the old covenant. There, am I? Can you hear me now? Is that better? Was I breathing into it? Oh, sorry. Under the old covenant. Remember at Mount Sinai, God gives Moses the tablets, and he says, tell everybody, don't come near. Don't, even if an animal touches the mountain, you're going to kill it. If anyone touches the mountain, kill them. Oh, God, that's pretty harsh. Do not touch the mountain. There was a fear of God.
That's right.
We're supposed to have a fear of God in the aspect of being respectful for God. But in the New Testament, what does it say? Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are weary, and I'll give you rest. Anytime, anywhere, any place, we're never too much for Jesus. Hallelujah. Come to me, he said. Come to me. It's not, all right, line up. You did this, this, and this. Time for your spankings. No, come to me, Jesus says, so you can be forgiven, so you can have a new life, so you can get on with your life and live for Jesus and bring glory and honor to him. Amen. Hallelujah. I like Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, now. Everybody say, now.
Now.
To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm so happy to be a grandpa. I'm looking forward to being a great grandpa. I can hardly wait, but I'll have to. So, praise God. But I remember my great-grandfather. Praise God. It was a privilege to know him. All generations, every generation should know about Jesus and such a great salvation that he offers. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So let's go to the next verse. This is most famous verse probably after John 3:16. It says, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hallelujah. Are you confident? Are you convinced? Amen. About Jesus? Hallelujah. The word conviction, I'll never forget some Somebody wrote some graffiti on the wall one time, convictions cause convicts. I thought, well, if I had a pen, I'd write underneath that, that's because criminals cause crime. But we're not talking about that kind of conviction. We're talking about proof. It comes from a Latin word which means a mental victory. Amen? Anybody ever been tormented in your mind? You have thoughts that come in and say, oh, yeah, God doesn't love you. God's done with you. This is impossible. There's no hope. We have mental victory. Amen? It literally means to prove conclusively. It comes from a Latin root word which means to conquer, to overcome, or to win. I never was very good at arm wrestling, so I really admire people that can win at arm wrestling. That you got to have some power. One of the funniest things I ever saw, when my son was in the sixth grade, I came home from work and he's in the garage lifting weights. I said, son, what are you doing? He says, the teacher said he's going to arm wrestle every one of the kids in the class tomorrow. And if we beat him, we don't have to do any homework for the whole year. Needless to say, he didn't beat Mr. Klein. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but you know what? We can see the effects of the Holy Spirit on people. Amen? When God changes a person's outlook in life, when God changes a person's thoughts, amen? We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to think like God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hope is the motivation for faithfulness and love. Hope is the basis of our hope is the promise of God, confirmed with an oath. God swore by himself. He says, I will do it. And God, when God says he's going to do something, he means it. He swore to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. He says, by myself I have sworn. And in verse 18, the promise is this, among other things, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed me, God said to him. And what is the promise? He would make Abraham's descendants a great nation. He said to Abraham, go look at the stars. You can't see too many here in Tucson. If you go up in the mountains, you can see them pretty good. A friend of mine told me one time, first time he ever went camping. We lived in New York City, and you can't see the stars because of all the light and the pollution. He says, but we went upstate, and in the middle of the night, I had to get up and go pee, he said, and I came out, and I had never seen the Milky Way before. He said, I thought something exploded or something terrible happened. I'd never seen it before. God promised that he would make Abraham's descendants like the stars, like the sand on the ocean. That nation would be a blessing to every other nation. Some of the most innovative inventions have come from Israel that have blessed the world. The most important one is salvation. In John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan. She says, what are you talking to me for? And Jesus tells her a few things, and she asks him a theological question. She's a great theologian. She's had five husbands, and now she's a great theologian. So he asked Jesus, you know, you Jews say we're supposed to worship at Jerusalem, but we have a place up here in Samaria. What's the deal? And Jesus said, you don't even know what you're worshiping. However, salvation is from the Jews. It literally means that the Jewish people are the source of salvation because Jesus was not a European. He was not some white guy with a handsome beard and long flowing hair. He was Jewish. Amen? And not only was he Jewish, but the salvation available to every man, woman, and child on earth is from the Jews, and it's not a one-time deal. It's ongoing. It's supposed to be progressing. We're supposed to take over the world as Christians. Did you know that? Jesus said, go out and make disciples of all nations. In other words, Jesus said, go conquer the world. Take possession of the world. We're not behind enemy lines right now, you know. The devil, he likes to try and think, make us scared, and, oh my God, there's so much witchcraft going on. Oh, the devil, oh, the spirits. The Holy Spirit's the dominant spirit. I'll say that again. The Holy Spirit is the dominant spirit. He's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit is the one that lives inside of us. Amen? He's the victor. Hallelujah. And you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed. Hallelujah. Hope is not wishful thinking, but it's based on the solemn promise of God. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got everything under control, whether it looks like it or not. How many want to tell God what to do? Anybody ever been praying, God, I want this, this, and this? It's not how it works in the kingdom of heaven. The prayer should be, God, what do you want? Amen? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. We desire each one of you to show the same earnestness or make an effort to have the full assurance of hope until the end of your life, amen, so that you may not be sluggish or lazy. How many know Christianity is not for lazy people? God expects us to make an effort, amen. You can't, like Pastor Wayne says, you can't get the Word of God inside you by osmosis. You have to open it up and read it. Have many of you ever seen that meme on Facebook or wherever it is? This guy says, I want to hear from God. I says, no, I want to hear God's voice. Read it out loud. Amen. Read it out loud. Amen. You what? Try that next time you're reading your Bible. Read it out loud. Amen. Praise God. I watched I read an article the other day. It said that when you write something down, your brain switches on, as opposed to when you type it. Your brain switches off certain areas. So if you want to get any memory verses, get a piece of paper or a card, write them down, put them on your fridge, read them out loud. Hallelujah, amen. Don't be sluggish, but be imitators of those who get all they want right away. No. Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God promises to prosper us, amen. God promises to bless us with salvation. God promises to save our children. But it doesn't happen automatically. We're the microwave generation. Put in the microwave for 55 seconds and your leftover cup of coffee is nice and hot. So you could just make fresh coffee. But no, we want everything instantaneous. And God says, no, you got to have some patience and faith. Then you inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Not wishful thinking, but full assurance. Let's go on to the next. Excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. We have an inheritance. Amen. And I like the description of the inheritance. Blessed or happy is God and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. How could God be the Father? Well, he has to be the Father in order for Jesus to be the Son. Can't be a dad if you don't have any sons. Amen. Let's go on. According to his great mercy, thank God for his great mercy, because without it, we're toast. He has caused us to be born again. Hopefully everyone in this room is born again. When I first got baptized as an adult, I had no clue. And they gave me the microphone to give my testimony. And I had read, Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground, it stays alone, it has to be buried, and then it grows. And I thought that I'd be born again the day I die. But no, you have to be born again in this life. Amen? So I got that figured out finally. I'm born again to a living hope, not a dead hope, but a living hope. And this hope is proved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's an empty grave in Jerusalem. It was borrowed for 3 days. Without the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, there is no hope. He's the proof that there is a future coming, that there is the resurrection from the dead, that loved ones that we have lost will see them again. Amen. And we have been born again to an inheritance that is, and I love this description, imperishable. Anybody ever get a banana and you leave it on the counter too long? It's perishable. But our inheritance is imperishable, undefiled. It's clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And unfading. It doesn't... You leave something out in the sun, especially here in Tucson, and eventually it'll fade. One of the first colors to fade is red. Put it, leave a Coke can out in the desert for a while, and eventually all you see is aluminum, and all the color is gone, and it fades, and it loses its brightness. But our inheritance is unfading. It doesn't wear out. It's not. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. It's kept in heaven for you and me. You and I are, this is the who, you and I, we are kept by God's power. We are being guarded through faith, trusting in God for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This salvation is the full and complete and total salvation that God intended. Amen. Because when Jesus died, he paid the price to redeem not only us, but the entire universe. Amen? John, in the book of Revelation and in other places in the New Testament, it says, everything that we see right now is going to be dissolved, and God's going to recreate everything. I like one pastor said, man, you know, I used to use drugs and see all kinds of wild stuff. He said, I can't wait to see God recreate the universe, all the stars. Can you imagine watching that? Whoa! God is going to blow our minds. We'll be so glad when we get to heaven. Amen? It'll be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. Praise God. We have an inheritance. We're being guarded by God's power. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Let's go to the next verse. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 37. Paul in chapter 8, I don't know if you know this, but somebody keeps count. In chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 20 times. 20 times. I'd say that's pretty important. Usually when something is repeated three times, you know, God's trying to tell us something. This is repeated 20 times. I think God's trying to tell us something. What shall we say then to these things? The things that he just talked about in the previous verses of Romans chapter 8 about the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, empowering us. If God is for us, who can be against us? One translation said, if God is for us, everyone might as well be with us. Why people resist the gospel is beyond me. It's the gospel literally means the good news that God loves us, that God wants to have a relationship with us, and God has made a way for any barriers such as sin, rebellion, stubbornness. God has made a way for every barrier to be removed. Amen. In the Old Testament, it says God's hands are stretched out all the day long to a stubborn and rebellious people. Yet he still stretches his hands out because he wants to be loved in return. He wants us to know how much he loves us. A friend of mine was a foreman on my very first job. And years later, I remember where he lived. And I heard he had cancer and he was dying. So I went to see him. And I said, Pete, can I pray for you? And he said, yes, please. So he's sitting. And another friend of mine had already talked to him about salvation. But I don't remember him ever saying anything about being saved. But I prayed for him and I said, God, my friend Pete He's like a brother, an older brother to me. And I ask you this right now, Jesus, I ask you to show him how much you love him. And this was a tough construction worker guy. He was moved to tears. He started weeping. I'll never forget that. And then I got to pray with him one last time just before he died to ask Jesus to be the Savior. Hallelujah. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us just a few things? No, give us all things. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Who's God's elect? Everyone that receives Jesus as their Savior. It's God who justifies. That word justifies, I heard people say, explain it this way, when God justifies us, it makes us as though, just as if I had never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? All your guilt could be washed away by receiving Jesus' forgiveness. It's God who justifies. Who's to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. That he condemned sin in the flesh by going to the cross. More than that, he was raised. He's at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for us. You don't have to pray to anybody else except Jesus. Jesus is your defense lawyer. God, I messed up. What am I going to do? Run and hide? No. Go to Jesus right away. He's your defense lawyer. He's your attorney. Amen. He's interceding for us. Chapters 31 through 7. Who will separate us? This is the end of the chapter just about. In the beginning of the chapter, he talks about, time out. I have to look this up. I forgot to write this down. You'll forgive me, right? Yes. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Thank you. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. So it begins chapter 8, talking about condemnation being removed. And then he ends the chapter, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. All these things. I don't know about you, but I've never had anybody pull a sword on me. I've had somebody pull a knife on me because I told them God loved him. But I've never had a sword. I've not really been persecuted, never really been in a famine. Have a few tribulations, some distresses. I've never been naked out in public, in the shower. All at home, that's fine. But all this stuff, most of us never have to deal with this. Amen? But none of it, anything similar to it, cannot separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he quotes the Old Testament. We're like being killed all day long. We're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And he says, is this a problem? He says, no. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And I think it should say, him who loves, present tense, perfect tense, all the time loves us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I am sure. And all these things we're more than conquerors. I am sure. I'm 100% convinced. I'm no way will I ever not believe. Some people, they fight God for a long, long time. But when God gets a hold of their heart and they get saved and they are convinced, they have that mental victory, nothing will stop them from loving God. Nothing will separate them from the love of God. This is the blessed assurance. I am sure that neither life, neither death nor life, angels, rulers, things present, things to come, nor powers, height, nor depth. This is like the, what's that, disclaimer. You know, you read all the paperwork about your computer program or whatever, the app you send, download. And if you read it all, they put in, you know, even if something gets invented that we don't even know about right now, it still doesn't matter. And it's the same. This is God's disclaimer. Anything, nothing can say, things that come, things that haven't been even heard of yet, things that haven't been invented yet, will not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. Nothing, nothing, nothing can separate us. No demon of hell can separate, not even the devil can separate us. Once you're convinced, once you have that mental victory that Jesus loves you, that he saves you, when you call on him, you cannot be broken away from God. Hang on to God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. If you ever doubt your salvation, it's very simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made, resulting in salvation. And with the heart, one believes, resulting in righteousness. You believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, call upon him. He's alive. He's not a religion. Amen? Yes. Jesus is a person. He was a human being like you and I. Amen? He lived, breathed, but in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. Hallelujah. Nothing can separate us. And I think this is the last verse. So, we want to look one more verse, which I didn't put up there, and that's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Peter writes, he says, grace and peace. How many know where we get peace from? We get peace from God because of the grace of God that he's given us. Amen? We don't want God's justice. We want God's mercy. Because if we got what we were supposed to get, it would not go well with us. But thank God that Jesus took the punishment we deserved. In verse 3 of Peter's second letter, he says, his divine power. Oh, wait, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied. I like multiplication. Amen? Things exponentially grow, and especially you know what compound interest is on the money you leave in the bank. It grows and grows and adds and grows and adds and grows. We want grace and peace to be added and growing and multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, of our Lord. We want to know God. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24 says these words, that him who boasts, boast in this, that he knows God and understands God, that God is the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness. In those things, God delights. Because God has given us, in verse 3, his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. What it literally means is, in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that you know God and the Son whom God the Father has sent. God wants to have a relationship with us. Amen? He wants to be intimate with us, is one way of putting it. We want not just knowledge of facts about God, but we want to have knowledge of God. We want his presence made known in our lives. Amen? Verse 4. These all things have been given to us. We have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, you and I may be partakers of the divine nature. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says he takes out the heart of stone and he puts in a heart of flesh. He changes us. Well, that's still the same as before, you know. Well, then, try and make some progress, amen? Make some progress. Nothing's changed at all. I'm still a grumpy old guy. Oh, well, get on with the program. Pray. Ask God to touch you. I've still got problems. Well, welcome to the club. We all have problems. That's why Jesus went to the cross, so that we can find, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, it seems like a time of need. Good. Cry and be aware that God is with you. He never leaves nor forsakes you. Amen. Make some progress. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, his last part of his second letter, he says, grow. Don't be stagnant. Don't remain the same, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We're supposed to grow. Salvation is not a one-time deal. You're supposed to be changed. God is supposed to be changing us. We go from glory to glory and strength to strength, Paul writes. It's not, well, that's it. I guess I'm done. Okay. That's why we come to church. Amen? To hear the word of God preached, try and get grasp what he's talking about, and use it to change. That's another reason why God sent the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can, you'll hear a voice behind you whispering, say, when you turn to the right or to the left, this is the way, walk in it. Amen? We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And you do that by exercising. Can't grow muscles by wishing. Amen. You have to lift weights to grow muscles. And it's the same with the kingdom of heaven. In Hebrews it says that we mature by discerning, by exercising discernment, right and wrong, not what's almost bad or almost good, but we are convinced of better things of you, brethren. We want to exercise discernment. Is this the voice of God? Is this what God wants me to do? When you're in a situation, sometimes it's not easy to obey the Holy Spirit. You're driving. Someone cuts you off. Are you still saved? Can you stay saved if someone cuts you off? Amen? Just one little example. Your kids talk back, or your spouse mouths off, and what do you do? Rise up and, you know, God, can I just be unsaved for a moment? No, we want to stay saved, amen? We want the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Fruits doesn't grow by itself. You have to water the plant. You have to cultivate it. You have to prune it. Let God deal with you, amen?